Corinthians chapter 3, verses 8 to 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 8 to 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 8 to 15. First Corinthians chapter 3, verses 8 to 15. The one who plants and the one who waters work as a team with the same purpose. Yet they will be rewarded individually according to their own work. Brother, please remember this one verse. Just remember that one. First Corinthians chapter 3, verse 8. The one who plants and the one who waters work as a team with the same purpose. But the part B says, yet they will be rewarded individually according to their own hard work, individually. Amen. Praise the Lord. We work together as partners who belong to God. You are God's field, God's building, not ours. Because of God's special favor to me, I have laid the foundation like an expert builder. Now, others are building on it. But whoever is building on this foundation must be very careful. For no one can lay any other foundation than the one we already have, Jesus Christ. Now, anyone who builds on that foundation may use gold, silver, jewels, wood, hay, or straw. But there is going to come a time of testing. There is going to be a time of testing. Brother, I want us to remember verses 13 to 15 that I'm reading now. I've already started reading. I want us to know that. I want us to know verse 8 says we will be rewarded individually according to our own hard work. 13 to 15 says, but there is going to come a time of testing at the judgment day. At the judgment day, to see what kind of work each builder has done. To see what kind of work, not what kind of faith, not what kind of salvation. What kind of work? Verse 8 says we'll be rewarded individually according to our work. According to our works. Verse 13, he says there will be a time of, the time of testing is coming. When everyone's work will be put through the fire to see whether it keeps its value. 14, if the work survives the fire, the builder will receive a reward. What? Reward. Rock, what? No mention of heaven. There is no mention of heaven in this passage. If the work survives, that builder will receive a reward. Verse 15. But if the work is burnt up, the builder will suffer great loss. The builder will suffer great loss. The builders themselves will be saved. But like someone escaping through a wall of flames. Amen. We began this message 2 weeks ago on the title Heavenly Rewards Part 1. 2 weeks ago. And today will be the part 2. In the part one, I laid the foundation of this message. And in the part one, I let us know that there are differences between the doctrine of salvation and the doctrine of rewards. Differences. You see, because it's so hard even to make people be saved. It is so hard. The church has ignored the doctrine of rewards. The church doesn't do much, doesn't say much about the doctrine of rewards. Because The other one is so hard already. Why add to the already difficult problem? But we have to say it. We have to preach it. Because there are grave implications. Grave implications of the doctrine of reward. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I gave us, four areas that the doctrine of salvation is different from the doctrine of reward. Number one, that salvation is for the lost. Salvation is for the lost. The doctrine of salvation is for the lost. But the doctrine of reward is for the saved. Which means one who is saved already needs to add something to the salvation. Number two, salvation is by grace, not of works. We know that. That is religion 101. Salvation is by grace, not of works. But rewards are by the works of the believer. Rewards are by the works of the believer. Number three, salvation is a gift, an unmerited gift, but rewards are earned. Rewards are earned through work. Through works. Rewards are earned through works. That's what verse 8 told us. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 8 says, everyone will be rewarded according to the person's hard work. Amen. Praise the Lord. And number four is that heaven is the consequence of salvation. When we get saved, heaven becomes real to us. Heaven is a product of salvation. But rewards are products of our works. Very different. Heaven is a product of salvation. Rewards are products of our works. Very different. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. And someone may be saved in Israel, or someone who will see this message, online someday. He said, Pastor, what do I care? I just want to go to heaven. That's all. I just want to go to heaven. I don't care about rewards. What do I care? Amen. Yeah. Brother, you need to care about rewards. You need to care about rewards. The reason you need to care about rewards, let's read verses 13 to 15 again. He says, our works will be tested. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 from verse 13 to 15. Let's read it again. But everyone's work, is that 13? Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. They will test our works by fire. If our works are not worthy, if they are the equivalent of wood or straw or hay, it will just burn it up. Fire will burn it up. And he says, the worker, the believer, if that happens, the believer will suffer great loss. You already saved. Someone already saved says will suffer great loss. And in verse 15, he says that if that happens, the believer will be saved. You see, because the believer is saved, the believer will still be in heaven. But he says that salvation will be like someone who got saved by walking through fire. Really, that does not sound like fun. It does not sound like fun. Let's read 15 again. If a man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet as by fire. Someone who walked who with that fire in a hole, and the person says, there's nothing I can do. Let me just run through the fire to escape. And the person, that's what the Bible says. That salvation that does not add to it works will be like that. I think it says it's in the Bible. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Foundation. You see, because of this, because of the principle of works, even in heaven there is hierarchy, as it is here on earth. In heaven there is hierarchy because of the principle of works. And brethren, that should be like, kindergarten. If we think about it, the truth or the reality of hierarchy in heaven should be so obvious to everybody, right? Because one person who did nothing cannot earn the same reward as somebody who worked his or her tail off in the Lord's vineyard. A righteous God, the God that we serve, is a righteous God. So it's not going to give someone who did nothing the same as someone who did so much. It's not possible. That's not going to happen. If it happened, it will be unrighteous, and our God will not do that. Amen. The title of today's message is Heavenly Rewards Part 2. Heavenly Rewards Part 2. Let's look at Revelation chapter 19, verse 1. 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 Where we are going to is a different verse, but I want us to see verse 1. So we know, when we go to the other verse, we know where the other verse relate to. What the other verse is talking about. That's why I want us to start from verse 1. Verse 1. After these things, John the beloved said, after these things, I had a great voice of much people in heaven. Where were the voices heard? In heaven. Just said he had a great voice in heaven. Let's go to verse 5. Let's go to verse 5. See what he says in verse 5. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both great and small. Both great and small in heaven. Some people will get to heaven, but they will be small. Some people will get to heaven, and they will be great. And there must be a difference between the two. There must be a difference. I don't want to be a servant here and go to heaven and be a servant in heaven. May that not be our portion in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Even in heaven, there is hierarchy. And the hierarchy is based not on salvation. The hierarchy is based on what? Amen.
Yes.
Heaven is based on salvation. But hierarchy is based on works. And that is fair. That is just fair. I mean, brethren, we are here. There are some who are sleeping right now. Who are sleeping, who don't care about what you are doing here. And maybe one day, they will be saved. Some get saved just prior to them breathing the last breath. In the hospital, it happens all the time. Somebody knows the implication of dying without Christ. And they preach Christ to them and they accept Christ as Lord and Savior. And they pass on. They go to heaven. What about the one who was saved 30 years ago, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, and has been walking all this time? No. They are skyrocketing. And you see, it's in the scripture. And you saw them great and small. I want to be great in heaven. In the name of Jesus.
Yes.
May we all be great in heaven. In the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Bible, quite often it is referred to as Christ. I must walk all the times. But more often, the rewards for our works are said to be crowns. Crowns. That's the way the Bible describes our rewards. So we can quickly, let's quickly begin to go through the crowns. Amen. Amen. Crown number one, the crown of life. The crown of life. James chapter 1 verse 12. James chapter 1 verse 12. The crown of life. James chapter 1 verse 12. The crown of life. The crown of life. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive what? The crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The crown of life is a reward given to those who love the Lord so much that the love of God in them prevents them from doing wrong. The motivation for not foreseeing wrong, for being tempted, for seeing a loophole to make money overnight but not pursuing, is the love of God. The love of God. Brethren, and this is something we can relate to. Because of your love for your wife, or your love for your husband, or your love for your children, you refuse to do certain things. Because of your love. Amen. Is that not true? Is that not so? Because of the relationship and the love you have for certain people, that love holds you back from doing certain things. That's why the crown of love, the crown of life, is also called the lover's crown. The lover's crown. The lover's crown. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The crown of life is also given to those who are faithful. Faithful to God unto death. Unto death, as the early disciples were. The early apostles and disciples. No matter what they did to them, they said no. You know, they did terrible things to them to scare others. And yet, the people refused to be scared. Do it to them, do it to me, I don't care. Those who are faithful unto death. As we know of the story of some 200 or so girls who were abducted in Nigeria, you know, by some terrorists. And one girl refused. Then she would denounce her sin. She would denounce her God. One. And I don't know if they have released her today. I have no current information. But I believe she has not been released. Maybe she has been killed. Because she refused to do what others were doing. Majority did something. But she said no. She will not. She will not. Crown of life is for such people. Brethren, the gun that will make me, Pastor Krukrumo, change my deny my Jesus, change from what I believe in. And we know all the arms and ammunition that are in the war. Now we move from supersonic to hypersonic. Listen, supersonic, you know. The God that will make me change my mind about my Redeemer has not been made and will never be made. Never. No God on earth. None. I will not do it. Amen.
Amen.
I don't know about you. I want the crown of life. Amen. God says if you try to save your life, you will lose it. If you lose your life, you will get it. That's what the Bible tells me. Why would I God has not been made anywhere in the world, and it will never be made anywhere in the world. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. To receive that crown of life by being faithful unto the end means that you will love Jesus more than you love anybody else. Amen.
Amen.
I know you love your family. You should. I love my family too. But you cannot give up your faith to please your family. No. You shouldn't give up your faith to please your family, because your family does not agree with your faith. No. Amen. If getting the life, the crown of life means that you must love Jesus more than you love yourself, it also means that to get the crown of life, you must love Jesus more than you love anybody else. The first one was about yourself. The second one was about anybody else. May we love Jesus more than anybody else in the mighty name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Second crown is the crown of rejoicing. The crown of rejoicing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 19 to 20. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 19 to 20. The crown of rejoicing. The crown of rejoicing. For what is our hope? Our joy. Our crown of rejoicing. And not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming. Go on, verse 20. For ye are our glory and our joy. You know, Apostle Paul and Silas and Timothy wrote to the church in Thessalonica. The book of Thessalonica. They wrote to the church in Thessalonica. And they were telling them that you who we brought to the Lord are our cause for rejoicing. Praise the Lord. We are rejoicing because of you that we have brought to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And so the crown of rejoicing is also called the soul winner's crown. Soul winner's crown. Soul winner's crown. Amen.
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 The one and greatest privilege we have, the one and greatest privilege we have to do something for God is by winning souls. God does not need us for anything. Does not need us for anything, because He can do everything. He will do it by Himself. Just merely speaking, as he did on the day of creation. He could do anything just by himself. Just merely by speaking, or by sending his angels to go do it. There is nothing he cannot do. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Since God can do everything by himself, why does he ask us to go and win souls? Why can't he do it himself? Or send his angels to do that? Why not? Let's see John chapter 20, verses 19 and 21. John chapter 20, verses 19 and 21. John chapter 20, verses 19 and 21. Then the same day at evening, this was after Jesus resurrected. The same day at evening, being the first day of the week, being the first day of the week. Now, this was Sunday. Amen.
Amen.
Sunday. That is how Sunday became the first day of the week. It used to be Saturday. The Sabbath used to be Saturday. But the day of Jesus' resurrection marked a new calendar.
Amen.
A new Jesus' resurrection set a new calendar for the world, the whole world. Then the same day as evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. Verse 20. And when he had said, he showed unto them his hands and side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Amen. Amen. They saw him for the first time amongst them, in their midst, after his resurrection. 21. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so I send you. This is where Jesus issued the first instruction. Later we have, you know, the Great Commission, where he repeated this instruction, asking us to go and bring souls, get souls to the soul winners. The question, back to the question, why? Why does Jesus want us to do that when his angels could have done it? Amen.
Yeah.
Revelation chapter 12, verses 8 and 9. Revelation chapter 12, verses 8 and 9. Revelation chapter 12, verses 8 and 9. In verse 7, it talks about battle in heaven when Lucifer rebelled and there was war, there was battle in heaven. In verse 8 here, he says, and prevailed not. That is, Lucifer did not prevail. And prevailed not. Neither was their place found anymore in heaven. When they lost the battle in heaven, they were cast out of heaven. Lucifer and his angels. Verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. All the angels that rebelled, that joined Lucifer to rebel against God, they were all cast out of heaven. And the Bible says one third of the angels in heaven were involved in this. So they were all cast out of heaven. Amen. Jude verses 5 and 6. Let's see Jude verses 5 and 6. 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 Jude. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, after all, destroyed them that believed not. After God saved his people from Egypt, the Bible is saying that even those who were saved out of Egypt, later God destroyed. And we know that the doctrine of salvation or the doctrine of deliverance out of Egypt is the same as the New Testament doctrine of salvation. We know that. And so here it says, people who were delivered out of Egypt were later destroyed because they did not believe in their God. They once believed, later they decided not to believe, and God destroyed them. And so we Christians, who have become Christians by believing in the Lord as Jesus as Lord and Savior, if we are not careful and we make certain mistakes, we could fall into that kind of trap. May it not be our portion in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
Verse 6 says, he says, remember what I did to the people of God. And here, now goes to the angels. He says, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he had reserved into everlasting chains under darkness, under the judgment of the great king. In other words, the angels that rebelled from God, God cast them out into damnation forever. no means of salvation, no opportunity for salvation. They were cast out forever. Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
And because he had cast the angels out forever into damnation, he did not, God does not want any angel to preach to them. If God commissioned the angels to go preaching, they will preach to their kind. Brethren, are you following? Are you following the trend? If God allowed angels to go preaching, the angels will preach to their own who are condemned forever. And to not have that occur, God shut that door completely. That's why angels don't preach.
Amen.
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 That's why angels don't preach and cannot preach. They are not the power to preach. And since angels cannot preach and will not preach, who did God fall back on? It's us. The church. Only the church. Only the church can tell people about Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. That's why Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. Only the church. Let's see Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 8 to 10. 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 Unto me, Apostle Paul was talking about himself. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles. Apostle Paul said, me. Me, of all people, God has given the mandate to preach to Gentiles, you and I. You and I and everybody, every other Gentile who is a Christian today because of what Apostle Paul began.
Amen.
I said, see, God said, among the Gentiles, the unsearchable riches of Christ, that he, Apostle Paul, is to reveal to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Verse 9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world have been hidden in God, who created all things by Jesus. That mystery, the unsearchable riches of Christ, he says it has always been, but it has been concealed and hidden. But now, God has revealed it to him, to reveal it to the Gentiles. Let's see verse 7. And what was God's reason for getting that mandate through Apostle Paul? He said to the intent that now, unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by who? By the church. The manifold wisdom of God. The manifold wisdom of God will be revealed to principalities and powers, to the devil, to his kingdom, to human beings, wherever they are, the manifold wisdom of God. But who will do it? Through the church.
Amen.
Let somebody clap for Jesus.
Yeah.
Let somebody clap for Jesus. Yeah. Let somebody clap for Jesus. Senator in the state of Ohio will tell you to do something to him. The whole world will know about it. They will put it on Facebook. If the governor tells you to do something, do you know, yesterday the reason I couldn't attend that party was because I was with the governor. With the governor of the state of Ohio. Let's not talk about the president. President, tell him, God has mandated us. God, the creator of the universe, he, the one who created the president, the one who created the king, who created the queen, the queen, he has asked us to do something.
Amen.
What a privilege. Amen.
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 Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Soul winning is very important, and there are five reasons. But because of time, I won't explain all the five. I will explain only one, because I know you have interest in that one. Amen. Why is soul winning so important? Number one, the Bible says, he who wins souls is wise. He who wins souls is wise. Now we know that passage, we read it all the time. But we don't understand what it means. We don't, he who wins souls is wise. What does that mean? We don't understand. Daniel chapter 12, verse 3 explains it. That is the second reason. Or that is the explanation for why those who win souls are wise. Daniel chapter 12, verse 3 says, those who win souls, they will shine everlastingly. So the soul winners know the benefit of winning soul, therefore they are wise. Praise the Lord. Number three reason. Winning souls works against sin. Winning soul is a battle. A battle against sins. James chapter 5, verses 19 to 20. We won't explain it. Because I say, okay, we don't have much time. Amen. Number four, winning souls causes joy in heaven. Luke chapter 15, 8 to 10. Luke chapter 15, 8 to 10. Number five, which is the one I know you want to be interested in. You will have interest in. A soul winner has a better chance of the prayers being answered. How many of us want our prayers to be answered? Hallelujah. There is a formula. A soul winner's answers are likely to come, and more likely to come than those who don't win souls. John chapter 15, verse 16. 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 You have not chosen me. Jesus himself was speaking here. Says, you did not choose me, but I chose you, and have ordained you my disciples, and have ordained you my children, my sons, my daughters, the reason for choosing you, for making you mine, for making you be my partner, is that. I have chosen you and ordained you that you can change that word, that paraphrase it, put the word because. I ordained you because you should go and bring forth fruit. Should go and bring forth fruit. And that your fruit should remain. Try to have their fruit remain. Amen. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So soul winning is important for many reasons. Not the least, this one, that we want our prayers to be answered. May the Lord answer our prayers in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
The crown of righteousness. Crown number three. Crown of righteousness. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 to 8. 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 For I am now ready to be offered. After Apostle Paul was convinced that he had done what God had asked him to do, and he knew that his time was coming, his time was near to return to the Lord. He says, "And for I am now ready. I am now ready to be offered. And the time of my departure is at hand." You see, many of us, the things that we do that we should not be doing is the reason we are afraid to die. we have prayed for that. You know, I'm not sure. You know, God, give me some more time. Give me some more time. Eh? Apostle Paul says, I am ready. You know, because he had done everything, gave himself to God. And this all began. Let's read it, verse 7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Verse 8. Henceforth, therefore, because I have fought a good fight, because I have finished the race, I have kept my faith. Therefore, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous God, judge, shall give me on that day. And not to me only, but suppose it's not to him only, but unto all them also, unto all them also that love his reappearance. Those who don't mind Jesus coming, those who are not running away from Jesus, he said, even to those ones, they will receive the same crown. Now this crown is given, and it is received when you know that you have done what you are supposed to do. If you have not done what you are supposed to do, you can't say this. May we be able to say this in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
May we be able to say this in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
At my ripe old age, I want to be able to say this. When my time has come, I don't know what, I want to be able to talk like this. I want to be able to talk. I mean, this is one of the passages I love so much in the Bible. And so, in 2003, how many years ago? 21 years ago. 2003, when I was preparing the vision and mission of this church, of this assembly, then a different name. When I was preparing that, this passage, 2 Timothy 4, 6 to 8, was the last passage I cited in the document. This passage, and I'll share that document again soon. We'll look at that I prepared 2003. You will see this passage there. Because I love it, because I mean it. Because I hope to be able to say this. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The crown of glory. Crown number 4. The crown of glory. Crown of glory. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4. Let's start from verse 3 and see something in verse 3. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 3. Let's go back one verse. Let's go back one more verse to verse 2. And then we'll come back to verse 4. Feed the flock of God. Word of God. Was talking to leaders, to the leaders of the brethren, the pastors, the Jews, whatever name they are called, the leaders, the spiritual leaders, from verse 3, says, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, don't push people around. Don't force people around, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, not for the money you want, not for everything you want from them, not for everything they have that you want to take away from them, but of a ready mind. Let people do what they want to do, what they like to do. Don't boss them around. Don't make people your servants. Don't make the church of God people who are your servants, who you order around. like them, that they are your servants. That's what the Word of God is saying. Don't they read this? Don't they read this passage? Is it not in their own Bible? Amen. They treat the people of God like little kids. Like little kids. They command them around. And I'm telling you to do this. You must do this. You must do this. You can't do this. No, that's not the way it's supposed to be. It's right there in the scripture. Then verse 3. Neither as be lords, neither do not be gods over God's heritage. They have done this thing, manipulated the people of God, brainwashed the minds of the people of God to the extent that the people respect the Jews more than they respect God. They respect their pastors more than they respect God. By manipulation. Every day they tell them of what miracle. You know, tell them, God spoke to me today. God said this to me. God, you know, they make that, they use those stories to make people feel that these are invincible, you know, people who, you know, have lunch and dinner and breakfast with God. So whatever they say, I must do it. It's those stories they use to manipulate the minds of the people and lord over them. Amen. But be example to the flock. Set example to the people under you, to the flock. Don't be their master. Show them how to be humble. Show them how to relate. May the Lord help His church in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Verse 4. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, when Jesus Christ shall come again, ye, that is the servant, the leader that was faithful, shall receive a crown of glory. That's the fourth crown of glory. That crown is given to spiritual leaders who have done the right thing. Amen.
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 Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And so for that one, those who are not spiritual leaders will say, okay, this one does not concern me. Let's move on. let's move on. This one does not concern me. It's not so. It is not so. It is not so. It is not so that it doesn't concern those who are not spiritual leaders. Because no spiritual leader can be successful except by the support of the flock. No spiritual leader can do everything he wants to get done all by himself. It's not possible. It's not possible. The success of the spiritual leader will also come from the sheep, from the followers. Without them, he can't. Without them, he can't. Amen.
Amen.
Therefore, this crown also goes to those who support their spiritual leader. Let somebody shout hallelujah.
Yeah.
Matthew chapter 10, verses 40 to 41. 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 He that receiveth you, the leaders, he that receiveth you, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. Verse 41. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of the prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. This prophet does not mean title. Just the one who walks on behalf of God. Who speaks on behalf of God. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of the prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man In the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. Let somebody shout hallelujah. If you want to receive your own reward, shout a better hallelujah. Amen. 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 There are a couple of ways for the sheep to lead to help the shepherd. Number one is through prayers. We don't think, most of us in the church don't even think about the pastor, the Jew, needing prayers. It's like the Jew, anyway, that's the way they present themselves. That they can do everything, that God speaks to them every minute, God speaks to them every day, so they have no problem. The God that does everything is with them, so they have no problem. But that's not right. That's not true. Amen. That's not true. We can help through prayers. Romans chapter 15, verses 30 to 32. Romans chapter 15, verses 30 to 32. Romans chapter 15, verses 30 to 32. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake. Because Paul was asking for prayers. And see how he's asking for it. I beg you in the name of God. I beg you in the name of God. And for the love of the Spirit, that he strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. In your prayers to God for me. Please put me in your prayer. That's Apostle Paul. We can stop there just to save time. We got the point. So, brethren, just as the pastors and the leaders pray for you, pray for them also. When you are praying for yourself, he says, in your prayers to God, for me, in your prayers to God, include me. Remember, the pastors are human beings like you. They live in the same world you live. They face the same problems you face. They have the same difficulties you have. Amen.
Yeah.
But because of the assignment of God in their life and the faith they have in the God that they profess, they find strength. They find strength in what they do. They find strength in God for what they do. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. But don't think everything is okay with them. No, it's not okay with them. Everything is not okay. Just as everything is not okay with you, it is not okay. Everything is not okay for a pastor. If a pastor says everything is okay with him, let that be an eye-opener. An eye-opener to you. See, brethren, there are certain things you get. And it gives you wide vision into something else. If a pastor tells you everything is okay with him, he is a liar. He is a liar, and you should not be led by a liar. You should not be led by a liar. He's lying. If he can lie on this, how much more? What else can he lie about? I saw a video last week. A pastor. Very famous pastor, all over the world, very famous. Says he has done more work than Jesus Christ. Really? He has done more work than Jesus Christ. And people believe in this man like hell. People believe in him. Great pastor. But what am I saying? Use some things to know bigger things. And know when to run. Know when to run. What was his reason for feeling that he's done more work than Jesus? He's preaching in Africa. He's preaching in Europe. He preached in the Middle East. President Jesus did not go. So he has done more work than Jesus. Hey, how did you go to Africa? Somebody booked a flight for you. And you got into a plane. And you flew to America. And then they checked you into a hotel. You know, double queen. You know, hotel. If you went with your wife, they probably gave you a suite. You know, and they served you breakfast or lunch, whatever, in your bedroom or in your hotel room if you ask for it. That's what you did. That's a walk. That's a walk you did. That's, Jesus walked on food. On food, and the Bible says, in the middle of the day under the sun, he was tired. Jesus was tired, and he sat beside the well. He was tired and hungry. The disciples went to buy food while he was sitting and resting beside the well. That's what somebody who does not know anything says he did more work than Jesus. He did more work. May the Lord help us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You can encourage your pastor. Encourage your pastor. Don't sit in the church and begin to pick, not just every little thing that doesn't mean anything. Does not. I have two laws in this church. Do not stay under a pastor who will take you to hell. Don't stay under any pastor you don't trust that all has been started doing things that will take you to hell. Do not stay in that place. And if you have to complain about what is going on, go ahead and do it. Go ahead and do it. This thing is not right. This thing will take us to hell. I will not be part of it. Say it. Why not to pick such ridiculous pettiness? That's not encouraging. You're not, and that thing you're picking, you're not even telling the pastor, you're telling, you know, other members. Yeah, this is a pastor. You're always talking. And the things you are saying will get back to the pastor. You don't know. It will get to the pastor. You know, you think you have done something behind him? No, you haven't. The thing will get to the pastor. Because somebody will not like it and will tell the pastor, this is what is going on. May it not be our portion in Jesus.
Amen.
You can give freely of yourself because the pastor can't do everything. Help to serve. Helping to serve the Lord. Give him gifts if you can. Give him something. Give him. But you shouldn't be forced to do anything. The pastor should never ask for money. Should never ask for money. Brethren, those listening to me, who will listen to this one? Your pastor must never ask you for money, for anything whatsoever. Because some godly. Jesus says, freely have you received, freely give. Your pastor tells you to give him money, leave that church. That man is not a man of God. That woman is not a woman of God. Leave that place. Amen. Trial number 5, the incorruptible crown. Incorruptible crown. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 24. First Corinthians chapter 9, the incorruptible crown. Know ye not that when they which run in a race run all. Brother, I'll get back to this. How is it that the pastor life is the normal thing. It's the normal thing that is done everywhere. Everybody's doing it. How is that possible? Where did we see Jesus ask people for money in the Bible? Where did they pick that thing from? Where? Where? But it's normal now that because everybody is doing it. Can't somebody be the exception? Can't somebody be the one who is not doing it? Amen. Crown number five. Incorruptible crown. Know ye not that they which run in a race all, but one received the prize. See, this is Apostle Paul's one, you know, rendition of the word Christ instead of Christ. So run that ye may obtain. Verse 25. So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate. Is temperate in all things. Every man that striveth for the mastery. For the mastery, to be the number one, to be the best, does so by being temperate, by being disciplined, by being self-disciplined. Amen. We'll come back to this. Now do it to obtain, and they do it. That is in the world. Those who run, the athletes. He says, those people, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. But we an incorruptible crown. Amen. Amen. The crown of righteousness is an incorruptible crown compared to the crown that people receive, the prize that people receive. But all those guys who receive prizes, who are the best in anything they do, basketball, football, whatever, you know, even athletics, you know, that famous Jamaican, all of them, there is something about all of them. They exercise self-discipline. Not discipline that is imposed because the pastor is around, because the sister, because the brother. No, no, no. Self-discipline. They discipline themselves. And because they discipline themselves, there are certain things their bodies want to eat. They refuse. There are certain things their bodies want to drink. They refuse. There are certain times the body wants to rest. They refuse. That is self-discipline. It is that. Anyone that is striving for mercy. Self-discipline. In fact, that principle works even outside Christianity. You are going to be a good student in school. You must be self-disciplined. To read, to study when you are supposed to study. If you don't do it, you will not be the master. You will not win the crown. But even so, in our Christian race, in our Christian, the same principle, there are certain things the body wants to do. Don't do it. I saw a video this week of a young man who was mad like hell, because his church did not buy him a Movado watch. Movado watch. Man, I'm really buying it. So I said, if this young man is so obsessed with watch, cannot control himself because of watch, how can he control himself before the girls? Before the girls. Brother, are you getting it? If the pastor has no self-control over what, how can he have self-control over the girls and the women? How can he do? In self-discipline. The girls will always be beautiful. The ladies will always be beautiful. The men too may always be handsome. It doesn't matter. That's the way God has made it. Let's discipline ourselves. If we are to run this race, and if we do, we will get the incorruptible crown. Now, brethren, all of these things I have been explaining, the crown, the rewards, that we have to get, not because we are saved, no, Not because we are saved, but because we want to achieve them. Nobody can achieve them by being a non-looker, by being a church goer. They only know you by coming, by being a church goer. I mean, we all start that way. And that's why messages like this are necessary. Necessary to wake us up. Because after all, it is for our own good. Yeah. Jesus Christ is not going to kick at the ground. Because of, you know, it's already the King of Glory. It does not need anybody's crown. It's already the King of Glory. But these are our crowns. If we will realize that in addition to the great victory of salvation, we also do some work. Because the Bible tells us in verse 8, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 8, that the day will come when there will be, an examination. And that everybody will be rewarded according to his work or her work, not according to salvation. Salvation is paramount, no doubt about it. We must have it. We need to have it. Because without it, no matter what work you do, anyway, it's useless. Without salvation, whatever we do, it's useless. In any case, we can't do it. We won't be able to do it. The Holy Spirit will not be there to enable us to do anything, to achieve anything, if we are not saved. So we need to be saved.
Amen.
So, brethren, what will be your crown? Or what will be your crowns? May the Lord speak to all of us in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.